My dear friends, tonight as we gather together, I am conscious some of us are troubled and are carrying heavy burdens in our hearts. Perhaps you are so troubled that you just can't tell another person how troubled you are. And you are waiting for some good news, some change of your situation, some good news for your hearts, good news that you are longing for so that you can tell others the Lord has lifted up the burden from my heart. Oh, friends, you know something of that? My dear children and younger people, maybe you have never known anything like that, but you will know something like that later on in life. The word gospel means good news. Happy news, joyful news. Over the past 6 weeks, we've been studying together under Dr. John Piper on the theme that God Himself is the gospel. That the greatest good news, joyful news over all, is that God is going to give Himself in the Lord Jesus Christ to those who believe in Him. My dear friends, that word gospel or good news, that's not just happened or mentioned only in the New Testament. Gospel or good news or joyful news is mentioned in the Old Testament. Isaiah is among the earliest Bible writers who tells us about the good news. You notice in our passage here tonight in verse 7, who bring good tidings. Literally, it is good news of good. The prophet Isaiah is a gospel prophet. He is someone who brings good news to the people of Israel of old. But the good news of Isaiah is set against the very dark and terrible background of Israel exiled to Babylon. Now, my dear friends, I want to ask you, and you don't need to answer out loud. If you have read through the whole Bible, which part of the Bible have you found to be most difficult? Well, I guess if you have really read through the Bible, the answer would be, I find it so difficult to understand what it is all about from Isaiah. Now you've got your Bible open from Isaiah to Malachi. The Old Testament prophets, well, so many of them, and they talk about so many things. I find them so difficult to follow. Well, that is a common problem, and you don't need to blame yourself, but I want to help you here tonight. In a sense, if you open your Bible from Isaiah to Malachi, all the Old Testament prophets, they have to deal with one big problem. the matter of the exile of their own country and people. My dear friends, no matter what you are suffering tonight, what burdens you are carrying tonight, I dare say, very kindly, very sympathetically, it is nothing in comparison to Israel's exile. You say, what is exile? What is exile? It is when Israel, when the people of Israel were to see their own country ruined, their homes destroyed, they were to see their women and girls raped by foreigners. They were to see their men and boys killed. They were to see all they have been swept. And eventually some of them who survived, and they will be swept totally naked, bound in chains to be led to a far away place. That is the exile. And they were to go to Babylon as slaves. My dear friends, if you have any sense of imagination, can't you see that is terrible? Can you think of anything worse than that? You can understand why some of those people would say, well, I prefer to die, instead of seeing that. And all the Old Testament prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and then you name them, all of them, either before the exile, during the exile, after the exile, they have to address this one big issue. Why? Why? And what is God going to do about that? You look at our text tonight. Isaiah is addressing that terrible suffering. And he brings the good news. What's the good news? Listen. You who bring good news, say to Zion, to the people of God, your God reigns. That is the good news. Isaiah says to his own dear people, he says, dear brothers and sisters, my fellow countrymen, the good news is God is in control. God has not gone into standby mode. God has not gone into hibernation. God has not gone on holidays. God reigns. Your God is in control. Your God is in control of all your troubles and sufferings. That is the basis of the gospel, the good news. So what has Isaiah to say about the exile? Now actually, Isaiah told the people of Israel about the exile many years before that would happen. He didn't live to see that. He only talked about that. And people in his time, for those who did not believe, they would say, here goes Isaiah again. This hellfire and brimstone preacher, he got nothing better to say. He always liked to talk about this terrible thing. Isaiah has four major things to say about the exile. Now, friends, I want to help you. Actually, from Isaiah to Malachi, you put all the prophets together, they are saying four major things. In ever so many ways, so often in poems, in ancient languages, but basically they are saying four things. If you remember these four things, it will help you tremendously to follow and understand the Old Testament prophets. What are they? In the face of the exile, either before it, during it, or after it, the prophets say, firstly, it happens because of your sins. Isaiah says, my dear people, it's not because God is weak that this should happen to you, but because you are wicked. Now the people might be tempted to think, oh, we are going to exile. Our country got defeated. We become slaves because our God is weak. He can't fight for us. The Babylonian gods are so great, they just overcome Jehovah, the Lord, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And Isaiah says, no. Get this right. You people have forsaken the Lord. Therefore, He is going to abandon you to slavery. It is because of your sin that this is going to happen. Now, my dear friends, you say that is no good news. No, by itself it's no good news, but think through this. If God is still in control, if my sufferings is because of my sins and folly, and God is still king, I can go to God and cry to Him for mercy. Isn't that something? Now I want to make it clear, not all our sufferings are because of our sins. But sometimes we can feel, we can say, Lord, I know it is because of my folly, my disobedience to you. Now you are disciplining me. Now you are punishing me. But Lord, you are still my God. And please forgive and pardon and have mercy. Now think back. If you were the people of Israel, that is actually a wonderful word of comfort in disguise. Because if God is not in control, if you go to exile because your God is weak, then there's no hope at all. Other than you become an idol worshiper and bow down and worship the gods of Babylon. I really like what a New York City pastor, Tim Keller, says. I'm keen to know what he has to say because two of my children are attending the church where he is pastor. This is what Tim Keller says. Good news. You are worse than you ever dare to imagine. But God loves you more than you ever dare to hope for. Can I say this again? Now, we can say that in New York City to bankers and artists and musicians, some of the very powerful men and women in the world, and some of the very poorest people in the world. Good news! You are worse than you ever dared to imagine. But God loves you more than you ever dare to hope. That is good news, isn't it? I don't really know how bad I really am and have been. But I don't really know how much God has really loved me. That's the first thing. The second thing Isaiah talks about and the prophets talks about is that after the exile, one day, God will bring them home. Now you are in Isaiah chapter 52, I hope you're still there. In verse 8, it says, "The Lord will return to Zion." Where is Zion? Jerusalem. You are going to return to Jerusalem. In verse 10, "The Lord will lay bare His holy arm in the sight of all the nations." Picture God as a strong man rolling up his sleeve. He's going to fight for His people. In verse 11, "Depart, depart, get out from the land of exile. Come out of it. You are going to come out from Babylon." In verse 12, "You will not live in haste or go in flight. When you come back to Zion, to Jerusalem, the Lord will go before you. The God of Israel will be your rear guard." That is good news, isn't it? One day, Isaiah says, "My dear people, God will forgive you. God will roll back your sins, and you are to come home. You shall come home." And that's why in our text here, in verse 7, Isaiah talks about, well, this is the good news, proclaiming peace, the good news of good, proclaiming salvation, which means deliverance. You shall be delivered. The consequences of your sins shall be reversed. My dear friends, isn't it wonderful if we know this, that there are not only consequences for sins, but that the Lord will bring us home, that the Lord will bless us again. Your God reigns. My dear friends, I want to ask you tonight, before we go any further, can you say that? Can you say, "My God reigns"? Can you honestly say, "The God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ is my God"? Can you honestly say, "Whatever is true of me, this is true. God is my God. He is mine, and I am His"? My friends, if you can say that, all shall be well. The third thing that Isaiah says, and you must not miss this, is that God is going to solve the problem of sin once and for all by the coming and suffering of His own Son, the Messiah, Jesus. Okay, I hope you're still awake. Let me ask you a silly question. What follows Isaiah 52? What follows Isaiah 52? Finish. What comes after Isaiah 52? Well, it's simple, Isaiah 53. And what is Isaiah 53? The suffering servants of the Lord. In Isaiah 53, we have a most detailed prophecy about the suffering of Jesus, given 700 years before Jesus. It's no accident that Isaiah 53 comes after Isaiah 52. Have you got the trick? Timothy, what comes after Isaiah 53? Isaiah 54. What is Isaiah 54 about? It's about world mission. About world mission. William Carey puts on this text in Isaiah 54 verse 2. And enlarge the place of your tents, swept your tents curtain wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. And he told his pastor friends, send me to India. And people say, we're only poor Baptists, we can't support you. But please, Isaiah talks about world mission. We have to go to the end of the world. Eventually was sent. Now what comes after Isaiah 54? Okay, 55. What's 55 about? Well, gospel invitation. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters without money. Come buy and eat. That's the good news, my dear friends. And seriously, now most of you know we got a couple of dear ladies in our church who, because of accidents, are totally paralyzed. Some of you have gone to see them regularly. Thank you so much. You know, so often they ask us this one question. The one question is suffering. Not just about their own sufferings, but about the suffering in this world. I don't know what you people say to these ladies, but always mention Jesus and the cross. I always say to them, there are so many things we don't understand in this world, especially about suffering. But please consider Jesus. Can you see Jesus? Can you see Jesus, the Son of God, bleeding on the cross? Can you see the suffering of the Son of God? Can you see the love of God in it? And hold on to Christ. Now that's good news, isn't it? That's good news. The fourth thing Isaiah says is that at the end, even all the nations, all the Gentiles will be blessed as a result of all this. In verse 10, of Isaiah 52. I must go back to that. All the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. Isn't that amazing? Isaiah tells the people, and other prophets as well, my dear people, you are going to exile. You are going to suffer for your sins, but one day God will bring you back, and one day the Savior will come, and the end of all this, the net result of all this, is that all the nations, all the ends of the earth will be blessed because of all these things. That is truly amazing. How can that be? But that is so often God's way. God just loves to turn evil into good. My dear friends, you may be suffering tonight. You may think that all is dark and terrible. But as we put our hope and trust in Jesus, we know not only all shall be well at last, but other people shall be blessed through our suffering. Isn't that something? Isn't that marvelous? No wonder, this is called the good news, the happy news. I only got one more thing to say. My friends, if we have come to know the good news, it is our duty to tell others about it. Good news by its nature is to be shared. Go back to verse 7. See the picture here. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good news of good, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Friends, have you got beautiful feet tonight? Let me tell you, you don't need to spend $200 to buy the most fashionable shoes to make your feet look beautiful. Gospel shoes make our feet beautiful. Gospel shoes never go out of fashion. Gospel shoes will bring blessings on other people. Give your friends a gospel tract. Give them a New Testament. Bring them to church, to Sunday school. Support mission. Pray for our missionaries. Good news is for us to tell others. I like to think in this way. It's just pure imagination. When the Lord Jesus Christ, after his death and resurrection, went back to heaven, Isaiah welcomed him. And Isaiah would be saying something like this, "Oh Lord Jesus, the Son of God, I never imagined the good news is this good. I talk about the good news in my book. It is my gospel, but I never imagined it is so really good." You know, sometimes we call the prophet Isaiah the gospel according to Isaiah. Some people like to say we got 5 gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Isaiah. Which actually say Isaiah, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. The 5th gospel. The old gospel. The original gospel. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we give you praise and thanks. For though your anger is for a while, your favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for a night, but when morning comes, it is joy. Help us, O God, to put all our hope and trust in Jesus our Lord. In his name we pray.